very bright, Bhante. Actually, it's a little hard to see you. It's that bright. Yeah, you're like. That's better. That's much more natural. Yeah. There you go. I don't know, is there an echo? Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Test, yeah. Okay. There was probably 20 minutes of silence on the audio stream. Anyway. Yeah, that's right. I have to go in and change it every time. What's my mic? What mic am I using? It's recording. Yeah, from the right place. Okay. Technology. You wouldn't believe how much. How many little things come together to make this happen? It's more than I care to think about.
If you want to make a little pre-flight checklist, I can check with you before you start the Dhammapada and make sure everything's all set.
Hey, that's a good idea. Way to think. No, there's too much. It's all convoluted and mixed up. But okay, for pre-flight, what we have to check is I have to check whether I've set up pulse audio. And whether the loopback devices are set up correctly. Whether I've turned on dark ice. I think those three things will do it.
Okay.
And there's much more that could go wrong, but.
Yeah. Now, is that only for when you're doing Dhammapada videos within the Hangout, or is that for all Hangouts?
That should be for all Hangouts.
Okay.
For the Dhammapada, I mean, I also have to check, but most of the other stuff is working. Most of the other stuff is working. So, questions?
Yes. Does anybody know if it matters what language I meditate in? If the ing suffix, is the ing suffix important? For example, seeing versus I see?
No, not important. In fact, the Buddha said, I see, but because in Pali it's one word.
And the question was about noting specifically, so doesn't matter which language a person notes in.
No, certainly doesn't. Hopefully it's a language you understand, you know and understand. The idea is it's a tool that, because we use language to represent things, so it's a way for the human mind to represent an idea and to therefore be directed towards it. Like if I shout fire, everyone's immediately thinking of fire and how to, like if there's a fire and someone yells fire, why do they do that? They shout fire so people will know that there's a fire and will direct their attention accordingly. To alert our minds to the reality, to bring our minds, to create alertness.
Where in Toronto are you giving a talk? This was actually from last night.
I'm not. I'm going to Toronto next Saturday for lunch. I've been invited for lunch. Pretty sure I'm not giving a talk, but you never know. I do doubt it.
Bhante, I've noticed that you have an exceptional memory. Mine is really terrible. Could you give some tips on improving my memory?
I mean, I haven't done much to improve it. I think I was born with a pretty good memory. I remember when I was in high school, they were showing reruns of Monty Python's Flying Circus. And there was this one show where they all... This is really not Buddhism, is it? Anyway, about memory. It does say something. Each one, by the end of the show, each one of them... So it starts off with this sketch where they have this name that's just obscenely long. And by the end of the show, each of the guys had said the name, and it just... Wow, it made me think, wow, these guys have such good memory. And so I went and I think this was back when the internet was really, really new, but somehow I found a website that was dedicated to Monty Python and managed to get a transcription of it. And I spent about a week with it on a piece of paper memorizing it. And the interesting thing was that after that week, I couldn't get it out of my head. This is how habits are formed. It's not, and this shows non-self, really. I would be sitting there, and wow, it starts to play itself back in my head because I had become obsessive about it. The name was Johan Gambopati Divon Oshfern Splendid Spatter Kraskren Bonfry Digger Dingle Dangle Dongle Digger Dingle Dangle Bernstein von Nackathrasher Upperwing Horowitz Tickleinser Grandonotti Grandonotti. Yeah, I can't remember. Speltinkle Grandlich Grammar Speltwasser Kurslich Himbalensic Grandonotti Kurslich. I can't remember. Something of Om. But I mean there is a point there that's actually quite interesting for us, and that's the fact that it's just an organic thing. I mean, memory isn't something to be proud of or be happy about even necessarily. Because you know what? There was a phone call and I just unplugged the phone to fix it. So I better plug the phone back in. Let's see who called. They're not going to be all that happy, I suppose. Richard Evans. I wonder who Richard... Does anyone know a Richard Evans? You're on the air. I'll let it ring once, and then if they want to call back, they can call back. That's how you do it, right? In Thai, they call it miscall. But it becomes a verb. Miscall me, they say. Miscall me.
Let it ring once, and then they'll call you back?
Yeah, because... In Asia, you only pay if you're calling. You don't lose minutes if you're being called. So it's a big thing to call someone and just let it ring once so that you don't have to pay. And they pay. Or, I mean, it's just a way, actually, it's more used as a way to give someone your number. What's your number? Oh, just missed call me. More questions?
Not sure. I don't see any.
Right, we're talking about memory anyway. There are ways. I mean, the point is it's not really a Buddhist thing. You know, memory is something you can build, is something you can work at. To some extent, I suppose you could argue, on the other hand, that to some extent it's organic. But nonetheless, it's not something that I would teach. It's not something that I would encourage you to focus your efforts on. If you don't have a good memory, don't work in a job that requires you to have a good memory, that's all. Find a job that allows you to build habits and work based on your skills. You know, there was this monk who couldn't remember a single stanza, and he still became an arahant.
Was that the monk that was given a cloth?
Mm-hmm. That was him.
Bhante, what is the next step after the basic meditation you teach? Is something added to walking and sitting meditation?
Yeah, that's why we've started doing these courses. There's a lot that's added to both walking and sitting. And so I've started doing that with people, but it's based on our weekly meetings. So every week I'll meet with people and give them extra meditation exercises.
Bhante, you made a mention of habit being associated with non-self. Could you please elaborate?
It's a funny question. I mean, it's like, points to a thirst to understand non-self, which is common. People, whenever they hear the word non-self, they want to know, what does that mean? How can that help me understand non-self? You can't really understand non-self unless you practice, and you shouldn't. It's not something that we over-intellectualize and therefore get all confused about. I mean, it's quite simple. Habits are constructs. When they're built, you can't just turn them off, and therefore they're non-self. It's not a hard concept, really. But deeper, I think you have to sort of let go of, potentially, I don't know who this is or what they're coming from, but this kind of question, it points to something, the idea of our confusion about non-self. Because we have this strong idea of self, and so we think in terms of that. We think in terms of our view of self, but it's not like that. It's just plain and simple facts and realities. You know? Habits form, and you can't just turn them on and suddenly have the habit. But through the repeated behavior, the habit forms, and it's only a repeated change in behavior that will change the habit. So they're not self in the sense that they can be turned on and off. There's no control over them.
I think we're all caught up on questions.
Okay. Well then, good night. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Robin, for your help.
Thank you, Bhante.
Good night.
Good night.